In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What shocks you? Toddlers in tiaras? Mass shootings throughout our country? Politicians exposed by the Me Too movement? Most likely none of the above, right? Even when something does shock me, I usually find myself saying, I can't believe it in one breath, and then I'm not surprised in the next. I wonder if we're all becoming more and more desensitized to scandal, as well as tragedy, and even entertainment, as Hollywood seems to outdo itself with more violence and more vice. That said, I always find today's gospel story a little shocking. Jesus' words about eating his flesh and drinking his blood take me aback every time, especially when we hear them out loud. I imagine some of you might feel the same way. Even those of us accustomed to the idea of Jesus' body and blood being spiritual food may be a bit unsettled by the way he describes it. He uses crude, primal, and visceral language. And if we're unsettled, think about how Jesus' audience must have felt. As we'll see in next week's gospel, many got so upset that they stopped following and listening to him altogether. Of course, the Jews had no problem with the idea of spiritual food. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he quoted from Deuteronomy, "One doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." But here, Jesus is making a big jump. He takes that idea of spiritual nourishment a step further by saying that he is the word, and his flesh is the food. First, he uses a Greek verb that simply means to eat, to partake, to dine. But this is cause for confusion. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? The Jews say amongst themselves. In other words, this sounds like cannibalism, which is simply outrageous. But then Jesus uses another, more provocative term that means to gnaw, or to eat like an animal. We don't hear it in the English, but it is there in the biblical Greek. So essentially, Jesus is saying that we need to tear into his flesh like an animal at feeding time. We need to gnaw on it like gnawing on a bone. Talk about shock value. And if Jesus is not referring to cannibalism, then this language confuses his argument even more. However, the words shocking and confusing can often be used to describe Jesus. He is purposefully enigmatic, especially in the Gospel of John. He uses hyperbole and parables and sarcasm. So to help us better understand Jesus, here's a metaphor that I hope he would appreciate. Think of hungry teenagers with a pizza. Let's say they're all on a sports team together. They finish a big game, go out to a pizza parlor for dinner, and as soon as that pie hits the table, those teens go to town. They each devour a slice in 30 seconds. They don't pause to talk. They don't pause to breathe. They just keep shoveling it in. Now say that pizza is the bread of life. That pizza is the body of Christ. What might it look like for us to eat the body of Christ like famished teenagers who can't get enough? Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about how we are to receive the Eucharist. In fact, let's try to hear Jesus' words without automatically connecting them to the bread and the wine at communion. I know that's a little hard to do for us Episcopalians. But we are in John chapter 6. This is not the Last Supper. So let's think broadly in terms of spiritual food. Perhaps Jesus uses such strong language to say the bread of life is sent from heaven and is for the really, truly hungry, those of us who recognize our need to be fed. It's a call to put politeness aside and eat and drink that grace like our very lives depend on it, which in fact they do. But how do we go about doing this? Practically speaking, how do we consume Jesus? How do we consume grace like those teenagers consuming the pizza? I'm the first to say this is not always easy. I've met plenty of faithful Christians who serve God and love neighbor and yet show signs of spiritual anorexia. They have difficulty receiving God's love and grace, which is spiritual food. They might fear being a burden to God, being less than perfect, or having needs of any kind. The result is a resistance to being divinely nurtured and nourished. Not long ago, I met a woman who is a psychotherapist. She said she has trouble asking God for what she needs. She proceeded to talk about the demands of her practice, how much her patients depend upon her, especially during COVID, and the heavy weight of responsibility on her shoulders. I can relate. We are both in helping professions that require us to be strong so that other people can become vulnerable. Even when I feel depleted, it can be tempting to hold on to the "I must say strong" attitude at all times and at all costs. It can be difficult to acknowledge my own weakness for fear that I will let somebody down or not live up to my own usually unrealistic expectations. But God didn't create us to be self-sufficient. God created us to find fulfillment and joy and a sense of sustained serenity that is only available through letting our guard down and letting God in. So here's an idea. Ask for what you need. What does Jesus have that you need? When Jesus says that we are to consume him, it does sound cannibalistic. But here is why that's helpful. The impulse toward cannibalism in communities that practice it, or so I've heard, is to take into oneself the enemy's power. Okay? You eat the dead body of your enemy to take in that person's power. Jesus' invitation is to take in his power, his spirit. And this is consistent with our theological belief that Jesus lives inside us. We have access to everything about him. We can take in his forgiveness, healing, strength, the courage to speak truth and love, or draw a boundary when someone is overreaching. What quality of Jesus do you want? What does he have that you need? Ask him for it. It's a way of consuming him. Here's another, yet slightly different way of receiving God's grace. Ask yourself, who does God want to be for me? This is different than asking, who do I want to be for God? That's a valid question, and it's one we tend to consider more often. But it's just as important to ponder who God wants to be for us. Who does God want to be for you right now? How does God want to be in your life? Maybe God wants to be a wounded presence, heartbroken and grieving with you. Maybe God wants to share in your joy and sing with you. Maybe God wants to challenge you in some way and nudge you to action. Or maybe God simply wants to show you the outrageous beauty and creativity of resurrection. When we consume Jesus, we don't consume his teachings, we don't consume his doctrine, we consume him. And each time he renews his presence in our hearts, let him speak to your heart. Let him tell you how he wants to be in your life right now. Finally, here's a third way of consuming Jesus and receiving God's grace. Ask Jesus how he wants to thank you. Yeah. What does Jesus want to thank you for? I know this sounds radical and a little counterintuitive. We're the ones who thank God. But take a minute to flip the script. Listen for God's gratitude. Listen for God's message. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We all want to hear this message from Scripture on Judgment Day, so why not right now? Let God thank you. Maybe God wants to thank you for helping somebody, or enjoying the beauty of God's creation, or saying, I'm sorry. Receiving God's gratitude is a way of receiving God's grace. It's a way of taking in Jesus' love for us, which is our spiritual food. So ask for what you need. Ask Jesus who he wants to be for you, and let him thank you. Now, I know I mentioned earlier that our gospel passage from John 6 is not explicitly tied to the Eucharist. But the Eucharist is a helpful way to ingest this message, if you will. You know the saying, you are what you eat. This little truism is preeminently about the Eucharist. You are what you eat is not necessarily about eating leafy greens and living a healthy lifestyle. That stuff is important, of course. But you are what you eat comes from St. Augustine in the 3rd century. In an Easter sermon, he exhorts, if we receive the Eucharist worthily, then we become what we consume. We become Christ by eating him. So when you receive the Eucharist later in this service, I encourage you to hold that truth in your mind. And also remember, this truth is much bigger than eating a consecrated wafer. It's an affirmation of your spiritual potential and the nearness of God. As you consume Christ's grace this day and every day, may you be conformed to his likeness and fed by his love. Amen.